up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick him in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go. How's the weather, Chicken Feather? Welcome back to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets. We are on part two of our Purity Culture series. So if you missed the last episode, you can definitely go back and check that out. But what we're doing is we're talking about something that millennials and Gen Z have been talking about for a while, which is how they feel the church has hurt them with their purity culture mentality. And that can be anything from not letting them wear bikinis at the beach to not teaching them anything about sex and just saying everything is bad to not helping them when they struggle with pornography to a bunch of different things. And so this is kind of in defense of not maybe what I would call purity culture itself, because it should be more of a lifestyle, not a culture. But we're going to talk about the reasons that the church needs to talk about those things and the reason that it's good that they're talking about those things. But just like when we talk about Christianity and the church and why those things are good, we can't talk about the good things and why that's important without also talking about the awkward things and what maybe should be different inside the church and inside purity culture. So we talked yesterday, 2 weeks ago, about what purity culture shouldn't be. And this time we're going to talk about purity culture, experiencing purity culture from a guy's perspective. And we're talking about this so that the man understands his role in his journey to be pure and treat women with respect and treat himself with respect. And we're also talking about this so that the woman understands, because if you're not inside a dude's brain, you don't know what's going on. Just like if you're not inside a woman's brain, you don't know what's going on in there either. So how are you going to empathize? How are you going to understand if you don't know anything about what's going on? And that's why we're talking about it. And we'll be right back after the break. All right. So what we're not going to do is talk about statistics. I could bring up statistics and studies and all of those things, and those would be scientifically factual, at least from the statistics point of research. But anytime that I could pull up a statistic, most times that I could pull up a statistic, someone else could pull up a statistic about the exact opposite. You're going to find statistics for anything you want to find in your favor, and that's just how it is, because that's how studies work. They make those statistics to prove their side of the argument. So if you want to say that there's statistical evidence that watching pornography is good for you, you're honestly probably going to find it. Why I'm not going to be using statistics, because whatever you want to justify, you're going to find a way to justify through science, through research, through whatever. What I'm not going to let you do is justify it through scripture. So we're going to go off of what the Bible says, and we're going to go from there. But before we get there, we're going to talk about some generalizations. So yes, it is a generally accepted fact that the man has a higher sex drive. He thinks about sex more often. He is more visually stimulated than the woman. Sex is on a dude's brain probably 90% of the time. Even if it's for just a microsecond, it's there. So with those constant thoughts come the opportunity for constant temptation. It's kind of like if you've ever driven through a downtown area, you know, especially if it's like a large metropolitan area, you know that pedestrians do not obey the laws of traffic. And neither really does anybody else who's driving, except for you, obviously, because you're the best driver there. And you have to constantly be on watch and monitor for any possible thing that can go wrong. Pedestrian crosses in front of you. Somebody makes a U-turn that's right in your direction. The light should be turning green, but it's turning red, and someone else is going to T-bone you. There are a myriad of things happening every time you drive through downtown, and it is very stressful, and there's a lot that can go wrong. So you have to be on constant alert anytime you're there. So now picture a man's brain is downtown Charlotte, and he's got to drive through downtown Charlotte every day for 18 hours, or as long as he's awake. And every traffic violation or every traffic inconvenience is a sexual thought, temptation, or opportunity. So before you start calling men perverted or broken or sick or whatever, first of all, think about how jarring and overwhelming that must be to have downtown Charlotte in your brain when it comes to sex and having to watch and guard and be careful for all of those things so that you don't mess up your life or somebody else's. And I'm being a little bit dramatic, but I have to give you a visual so that you'll understand that it's not just a matter of turning our brains off, because we can't. However, just like when you're in a car, you're responsible as the driver to the best of your ability, get yourself home without causing any sort of accident or being involved in one. Surely there's some cultural and some social pressure for men to be more sexual, but it is just a fact that men were created to just have a higher sex drive. And like I said, it's not 100% accurate. There are women that like sex more than men do, and that's totally fine. It's not a catch-all thing. What I'm trying to get you to understand is men's higher sex drive is a thing. They think about sex more often. They're presented with sexual opportunities, at least in their thought life, more often. And they're more visually stimulated than women are generally. All of those things can make it seem like it's outside of the man's control to be pure. But it isn't. And all of those things can make it seem like men are twisted or they're sick or they're perverted or they maybe weren't originally because God created them to have sex with women and the fall ruined it. And that is sort of true. That's definitely true that the fall is what makes it hard to be pure. But we're going to talk about why we want sex so much after story time. All right, it's story time. It's a time in my life when I did something goofy, awesome, silly, or completely absurd, and you get to hear about it and laugh at me. So, it was Christmas time, and as I approached the ever closer age of 30, my eyebrows started getting out of control. And I am not one to pluck hairs. That is very painful, and I do not have the time or the emotional energy to pluck every single hair to keep my eyebrows looking fresh. So I decided one day to take my beard trimmer, and I put it on the safest setting possible, and I went over my eyebrows with it so that they would be, you know, nice and neatly trimmed. But the safest setting was not enough. They didn't get cut at all. So I went down to the next setting, tried it again. Nothing. Eyebrows are still super bushy. So then, in frustration, I take the guard of the beard trimmer off. And I aim at an angle at my eyebrow hair. And I turn it on. And I rake it across. And now I have 1/3 less of an eyebrow. It's completely uneven. It looks all jacked up. There's no way you're not going to be able to notice. Anywhere I go, I could be on Zoom, I could be at church, you could see me from across the street and you would know my eyebrow was messed up. And I didn't know how to fix it. And I thought, well, maybe I can take a Sharpie to my eyebrow and I'll just color it in. And it'll be fine. but I thought that was a dumb idea because I had already messed up my eyebrow at this point. So I decided to get my wife's help because she always helps me when I do silly things like that. And she looked at my eyebrow after she stopped laughing. She took an eyebrow pencil, which I didn't know existed, but is the greatest invention known to man since electricity, at least for this situation. And she found the right shade and she colored in my eyebrow and we went to Christmas dinner and nobody knew a thing. They actually said my eyebrows looked really good. They liked my eyebrows because, you know, Atlee had, like, contoured them to the shape of my face. And I thought that was pretty neat. And so at some point, I think, like, there was, like, a lull in dinner or something like that. Or I don't know. was like, you know what? I'm going to tell you my eyebrow story. And once they realized that it was colored in, they could see it, and they laughed at me for the rest of the Christmas week. And it was hilarious. And now you get to do that too. As one time I shaved off a third of my eyebrow, and my wife had to use an eyebrow pencil to make it look like it was there until it grew back. And it did. But fun fact, do not ever do that to your eyebrows, because there is a chance that it might not grow back. Fortunately, the Lord had mercy on me. But now that you've heard the story, he might not for you. So watch yourself. And that is story time. All right, we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty of why men want sex. Reason number one, it feels really great. That's all I got. No, I'm just kidding. No, it really does. As someone who waited till marriage to have sex, I can tell you that there is pretty much nothing like it. It will blow your mind. And it's awesome. And it makes you feel really good. There's chemicals releasing. There's nerve sensations overloading. And there's just so many great, amazing things about sex. It just feels awesome. And that, I think, is the, on the surface, the driving force for why men want sex, is because they know it feels good. We're going to have to put an explicit rating on this, I think, because I'm about to say it feels even just good just to get an erection. It just does. Especially because of the thoughts that come with it. You're like, oh, that's a sexually pleasant thought, and boom. Now you are sexually aroused, and the only thing better than being sexually aroused is being sexually fulfilled, which is the whole reason you're sexually aroused, because all of those things feel good. And once you have that feeling, you want to either follow it to completion, or once you have followed it to completion, you want to feel it again. So we are, in a sense, chasing after those feelings. And that's why, especially when you're a younger person, you don't know exactly how to regulate those feelings and those desires and tell yourself, these are things that need to be kept under control. That's why it's good that we have youth group and small groups and churches and godly parents or family members to help you understand that those things are natural, those feelings are natural, those desires are natural, but just like anything else that can be used for good, it can be used for things that are not great. It's kind of like a fire. Fire can provide warmth and light and comfort. Fire can be exciting. But if you don't keep it under control, if you don't keep it in the little fire pit, then it's going to get loose and it's going to rage out of control and it's going to burn and destroy everything in its path until eventually the fire goes out. And also, it goes out because you weren't keeping it under control. You can keep a fire going for as long as you want, so long as you do it the right way and you do it in a safe environment. But if you let it get out of control, not only will it destroy everything, but the fire will go out once it's finished destroying everything that it touches. Well, that's why purity, quote-unquote, culture or purity lifestyle is important, and it's important to have people in your life to help you with those things so that you don't have to go it alone, so you don't have this raging out-of-control hormone fire that destroys your life and the lives of other people. Because beyond sex just feeling good, it does a lot of other things, and there's a lot of other reasons that we want it. Even as men, sex makes you feel accepted, loved, seen, wanted, understood, and even believed in. Sex, where you get naked and you become one with somebody else, they can see and feel and hear every imperfection that you have, but at the same time they can love you for those things. Men as a whole are very insecure. I don't know if it's because we kind of messed up paradise for ourselves, but as a whole, especially when it comes to the opposite sex, we're very insecure. That's why do you think, you know, a lot of dudes talk about their quote-unquote conquests or their penis size or stuff like that, because they're insecure. If you were sure, you wouldn't measure. And you can have self-confidence. You can have confidence in who you are because you're a child of the Lord. But every time you put yourself out there in a sexual way And you, by the way, you should only be doing that to your spouse. But the principle of this part still stands, whether you're someone who's promiscuous or a player, as you like to call yourselves, or someone who's a faithful husband. Every time you offer yourself up or open yourself up for sex, there is a chance for rejection. And rejection is a scary thing. Nobody wants to feel rejected because, especially with sex, you're rejecting the very core, the very essence of who that person is. And men are very vulnerable if you reject them for who they are. And so the reason that a lot of men struggle with pornography is because there's no element of rejection. They get what they believe is sexual pleasure and fulfillment without any sort of need to be vulnerable or rejected, because they're not confident in who they are as a child of the living God. That's why men will never be completely satisfied with multiple sexual partners or pornography, because they crave and desire intimacy just like women do, because both of us were created for relationship, for intimacy. And the enemy in the world takes advantage of that with its false senses of intimacy and its false promises of sexual fulfillment without vulnerability. Fall for it because of the premise that it's going to feel good and it's going to make us stop feeling insecure or afraid of rejection. But it's not going to do those things. You can only find true fulfillment, eternal fulfillment, in the Lord Jesus Christ, relationship with God through Him. But on the second basis of the sexual intimacy and life intimacy that you were created for with one other person, you're only going to find that by doing marriage and doing sex God's way. And don't let the world or anybody around you tell you that, one, you're broken or you're twisted because of your sexual desires, but two, that you can't successfully be pure, because you can. Even if you've had sex already, if you're addicted to pornography, it is not too late for you. You can still have meaningful, wonderful, true physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental intimacy with your spouse if you get help. And that's what we're going to go through next. But first, I want to talk about sexual frustration or horniness or erections or any sort of sexual arousal is not meant to let you know that it's time to feel good. What it's meant for is it's to help us to remember what sex, pleasure, and desire is actually for the real true intimacy that you were created for. And you get that not through force or manipulation or pornography or anything like that. You get it through showing sacrificial love to the other person who you promised to spend the rest of your life with. Anytime that I get aroused, what it really is a reminder of is that I need to show love to my wife. Because the more that I give to Atlee, the more she's going to want to give to me. It's the perfect standoff if you don't show love to each other. But it's the perfect completion if you do. Those things are supposed to be reminders to you. Not obstacles, not frustrations. They're reminders. Anyway, if you think that the man should be secure without sex, you're right, and he can be, like we just talked about. But don't forget that the woman also wants to be loved and accepted too. And that does happen through words of affirmation and acts of service and other things like that. But it also is fulfilled through the act of intimacy as well. But that's for next week. So I want to encourage you with a couple things. Is one, all right, you've heard enough of my own voice. We're going to go through this now with the Lord's voice. I'm going to give you some verses to back up and underscore my statements. The first one is Matthew 18:9. This is Jesus talking. It says, "And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Well, because it's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." So Jesus is not telling you to poke your eye out here. Please don't do that. But what he is saying is remove the opportunity that's presenting itself to be sexually tempted, to fall into sexual temptation. Are you on Instagram looking at IG models? Stop doing it. Like, the best way to do that, delete the app. There's porn blockers that you can get for your phone and stuff like that. There's a bunch of different ways that you can remove temptation from your life, that you can remove those things that can trigger temptation from your life. However, what you really need to focus on is the reason that you want to see those things, or the reason that you give in to the temptation, which, like we discussed before, is so that you can have intimacy without the vulnerability. Which brings me to my next verse, Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one person be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is to communicate that you can't do these things alone. You cannot resist sexual temptation. You cannot be pure by yourself. You cannot get over your pornography addiction by yourself. You cannot get over your sexual addiction by yourself. You need to get into a small group, or get with a trusted mentor or a pastor or someone to help keep you accountable so that you don't fall prey to those things. And you will fall prey to those things if you don't do it alone. But what happens after you fail is that somebody else is there to pick you back up. And it's a level of vulnerability that you didn't have before, that you're now practicing, that's now going to take place of what you were trying to substitute it with. And the more you are vulnerable, and the more you see that you're not going to be rejected for being vulnerable, if you're vulnerable with the right group of people, the more you'll realize you don't need those things. The more you'll realize that you can be pure. It's possible to be pure. Which brings me to my next verse, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, He will produce that kind of fruit. He'll produce love and patience and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And there's more, but I wanted to touch on those because those have to do the most, in my opinion, with being pure and developing the right kind of relationships and intimacy. Patience, you can be patient with yourself when you are tempted and when you fall. Other people will be patient with you as you reveal, as you are vulnerable to them. Faithfulness, you have to keep going and doing the right thing over and over and over again. That's challenging, but you have to be consistent. Faithfulness and consistence are very similar, and that's something the Holy Spirit will produce in you, to be consistently better at those things as you continually practice self-control, which is pretty self-explanatory. Peace, the more that you, the deeper relationship with God that you have, the more at peace you should be with yourself, and the less of a hole you would feel like you have to fill with those things that tempt you in a sexual way. And then love. Because this is the thing. Dudes that try to be pure, a lot of the time they're trying to do it out of what they feel like is obligation, or to follow a rule so that they follow the rules and they feel better about themselves for following the rule. But that's not what you're supposed to obey for. That's not what you're supposed to be pure for. You're supposed to be pure because you love God and you love your spouse, whether present or future. And that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're going to be, and that you have to be, absolutely perfect. But something that you have to remind yourself is the deeper relationship you cultivate with the Lord, and the deeper relationship you cultivate with other people around you who keep you accountable, then the more you want to do the things of God instead of the things of man. So if you love the Lord, then it's not that you want to obey Him for rules' sake. You want to obey Him and be pure because you love Him. One of the multiple things that keeps me from looking at pornography is that if I ever did that and my wife walked in on me, she would feel completely rejected, which is the thing that all of the dudes are trying to avoid, right? Is for them to be rejected. But for you to through your selfishness, reject your spouse and tell her basically that she's not good enough. If you love them, you will do your absolute best to reach a point where that will not be a problem. Whether that's getting help through a program, whether that's going to a small group, whether that's shattering with a baseball bat every computer and smartphone in your house so that you can start that journey, you need to take steps to do those things. The same thing with having sex. I could not have imagined getting to my wife and I's wedding night and me saying, I didn't save myself for you because my own sexual pleasure and my own feeling of not being rejected mattered more to me than loving you the way that you should have been loved. And that kind of love operates on a level of selflessness and sacrifice. And that's what true love is. It's giving somebody else what they need at your own expense. And that's what it means to be pure. Before we go, I'm going to do something that I don't usually do on this podcast, and I'm going to pray for you. Because even if anything that I said did not get through or it made absolutely no sense to you, my faith in the Lord to answer my prayer is going to do way more than I ever could do on my own. So that's what we're going to do. Lord, we thank you that we are your children. If we have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are your children. And what we ask for today is a better understanding of what it means to be pure. We come to you and we ask that you help us, that you push us to do better in having relationship with you, having relationship with other people, to be vulnerable, that you can solidify and increase our understanding about your acceptance of who we are, so that we don't have to fill that hole with things of this world, things that are sinful, things that can damage our lives and the lives of other people. Send us people that you know will help us be better and grow and put a fire in our souls to help us to strive to be better and not go it alone and not stay the same way as we are. Even those of us who have maintained a level of purity, keep us honest, keep us aware and alert of the things in our lives that we still need to be mindful of, and help us to continually and increasingly be vulnerable to you and to our spouses and to our future spouses so that we can increasingly show love to them. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all we've got for you today on this episode. Join us in 2 weeks for the episode about women and purity culture.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.